I just found out that class was full. It's exciting. Thanks. Thanks, Joan. Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Don. This is really fun. In fact, and hi, people on this side. I wondered who was over here. That was such fun listening to you guys. I mean, and I don't say that for every reading I do, but I'm serious. I felt like, everybody was so different. I felt like I tuned into like a really cool and wonderful radio station, and I got all into it, and then we went to another really great radio station, and then to another. It was beautiful, and I just feel like I should go sit down, and you guys could just luxuriate. It was really lovely. Okay, I'm not going to read anything from Velocity. I'm reading stuff from a new manuscript. And I'm going to start. I've got these question poems. I'm going to start with a question poem. This one is called, What Do You Like About America? You know how the tip of a soft serve cone curls like an unanswered question? I like that. I like how TV shows are all sexual innuendo unless they're just pure sex, and how politicians become lexicographers when they redefine rape, Paleolithic time travelers when they want to ban birth control. I like all the different kinds of milk. Almond, hemp, soy, breast, rice, goat, 1%, 2. I like answers sure as pool cues. I like how our brains have free range of motion, how sometimes we forget. I like the lack of soldiers in the streets and police on bikes. I like how in rich neighborhoods there's an epidemic of brown-skinned landscapers whirling leaf blowers in the wind. I like America's rhetorical questions and making sense. I like how I can't believe I don't have more African-American friends. I like our dinosaur bones, generic drugs, feeling safe in neon colors. Buy one, get one free. I like free. I like American cheese made from petroleum and American gas made from wars. I like being an elbow in the world's conscience. I like our guns. I like how rich women are bony thin. I like having electricity all the time and how we can fall in love in the ether. I like American furniture that swaddles us into babies again. I like slumlords, shallots, sinkers, and signet rings. I like running from nothing, wearing shoes made in China. I like crunchy things in bags, oil in spray cans, and how we eat, 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 until we're unsatisfied and full. Thank you. I just had a weird moment. I was reading that poem, and I'm like, oh, wait a second. I revised that. This is the wrong copy.
And I'm an obsessive reviser, so that happens.
This is a Pittsburgh moment poem. You guys all know about the left, what's it called, that left turn that people do right in front of you when they're not supposed to be turning left. It drives me crazy. I found out I really like rules. So, I'm shouting at the man in the left turn lane, be nice, be nice, as he's calling the woman in front of him an asshole for not cutting off the cars, whose right it is to go straight, who's not shoving her car heavy way in the world of Friday afternoon Pittsburgh traffic. Earlier today, my friend and I were talking about kindness's root. How behind the kind thing you choose to do lies a lack of ego, a void dark and fertile as organic potting soil. We were amazed to find another case for what's missing being more important than what's there. Asshole? Asshole? Who is really the asshole? I scream, punching the walk button. But the left turn guy's not paying attention to me, and the alleged asshole isn't paying attention to him or the cars. Her eyes settled on the big patch of conservancy flowers decorating this gray intersection on this gray day. Deep red haze of gladiolas, orange celosias posing as fire, electric popcorn of yellow coreopsis, squat humble marigolds fencing them in. The asshole yelling man pounds his steering wheel, stuck at the light again. I doubt he'll catch a whiff of the marigold's sweet mustiness, see the garden's planted beauty, this act of kindness. But I do. When the word walk shines, like a line of windblown daisies, I go quietly. This was just a little poem that was published in the New Yinzer, so I thought I'd read it. It's called Motherfucker. The motherfucker was a man who was my father. I know he fucked my mother. I have one sister, four brothers. I don't know what they called it or if he fucked anyone else. His name was Casimir, which he hated. Besides for saying the occasional bad word, shit, damn, hell, he was a pretty good man. I took all these swear words and tried to turn them into art. Did it work? Was it art? I'm going to do a little set change here. This is a poem about, I think it's about complicated happiness. Is all happiness complicated? I don't think so. It's called Sensible. I come from a long line of closed hearts. You know a closed heart means an open one willfully shut, right? At least in some cases. Who knows about the 62-year-old real estate man caught with Viagra in the hotel room, waiting to have sex with a 7-year-old. Maybe he thought his heart opened when he bought the Barbie doll, condoms. There was no little girl, just handcuffs and cops and a world of desire so deep and weird it swallowed all sense. It's not easy to say why hearts close, why the safest thing is to love your cat, even though it will die before you. I come from a long line of caution, short stump of sensible, dark glasses of unmade wishes. When the light came, and it did, unexpected and simple, oh, we were happy. Chris, your poems were so uplifting. I'm trying to figure out what to do. It's like, oh no, I don't want to make everybody sad.
I know, I like sad. That's fun.
Okay. This is called Crack. And then there was the time I gave the crack addict a computer. It was old, and his struggle, like most struggles to me then, was beautiful. Out of high school job at the cement plant, smoking weed at night, and then the 90s, and damn it, crack. He said it like a syllogism. 1990s, me, therefore, crack. I loved his stories, stealing his mom's wallet, a guy fingering his asshole for free rock. Love how much people want to hurt themselves, survive. And I loved the word crack, fissures we desire, brains made of glass. A recovering alcoholic who was into S&M built the computer from scraps. He'd open his drawer of magazines, Taskmaster, Tight Ropes, Give Me a Call. I need you to check something out, he'd say. What, I'd say. I can't explain over the phone, he'd say. I'd go, stare at half-exposed pictures of women's black patent boots biting a man's bare thigh, filled questions about gigabytes, zip drives. Say, you tell me what I want. I don't know.
I'm just going to read two more poems.
So some of you heard this story before. So I got into this thing where I was trying to write a Valentine's Day for my poem for my husband every year, and I did pretty well. But this year I wrote the poem, and then I totally forgot to present it to him. But I was kind of excited. I wrote this poem, so I was reading it out. Like, lots of strangers in several states heard the poem, and he never did. And then I did a reading at the East End Book Exchange, and my husband was there. So I was like, "Here's your poem." So here you go. This is my husband's Valentine's Day poem. It's called "The Calm," and it is the first sonnet I've ever written. Hard to believe there was a time when sex was new. Now we huff and twist our hips as purge. Tongues barely touching, we work in familiar ways, insisting our bodies to come. Eyebrows grow long with age. Our knowledge is more a car door without a lock than a keyring of fumbled choices, a blanket worn and wise. I wish there were more holes to fuck, but our bodies' designs remain what they are, ancient and useful. When our bare legs entered this bed of dailiness, we licked the air warm, content. Calm is a feast of its own, we said. I miss the filthy beauty of spiked desire, black as patent heels. Yeah, time steals chances for discovery. Presumptuous of us to feel we were different. But let's try again, dear accomplice. And I'm just going to read one more poem. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for the good company. This is also a Pittsburgh moment, and it's a transportation poem. I think I've got this thing about transportation. This is called Boys on Bikes, and I am also sorry to say this is a true story. Boys on Bikes. I swing leg over bar, strap on a helmet, then dodge cars turning in front of me, old men in trucks yelling, "Get off the road!" as I head to the rail trail. All breeze and smiles, nods and sun, until I round the corner into three huddled boys on BMXs, not moving while I'm zooming, so I ring my girly bell. Two scatter, one yells, "What's the problem, lady?" And suddenly, I'm the girl I always wanted to be. I slam my brakes, skid and screech. "Don't block the path, dude," I say. Not sure why "dude" comes out of my mouth. "We weren't blocking the path, lady," he says, which makes this moment about truth. "Yes, you were," I say. "It's a free world," he says. "No, it isn't," I say. "Someone could get hurt." "Shut the fuck up," he says. "What did you say?" I say, knowing this brown-haired boy is every boy who teased or ignored me, cheated off my tests, made fun of my breasts, though I could be his young grandmother. But who is using sense? "Listen, little shit, you can't talk to me like this," though clearly he is. "Suck my dick," he says, and tugs at his shorts elastic like he's pulling it out. Why am I scared? My heart's stockpiled with unfulfilled revenge, packed tight with anger. Welcome to America. I love my husband, daughter, brothers, nieces, sister-in-laws who are like sisters, memories of cooking with my mother, playing basketball with my father, who once drove out on a snowy February night to buy me Doritos because I wanted them. I love my job, my small brick house, cats and dogs. I am so lucky, so angry, so sad. I get back on my bike, aim at his legs. You mean suck your little dick, index finger and thumb marking an inch. And his friends laugh. Of course his dick is small. He's a kid. And finally, he runs, and I ride the rest of the way home, triumphantly embarrassed at all I know. Thank you for listening.